I want to talk to you today about some things God's been dealing with me about. This is not something that God made real to me years ago. He did make some of it real to me. But this is fresh. What God has been speaking to me in the last few weeks. I'm just going to start by telling you a little something. You know, we read in the scripture about perilous times. I believe we are entering those perilous times. These are very different times. You're looking at a man that's been here a long time and preached around the world. And I say that very humbly, but yet it's very true. But I've never witnessed what I'm witnessing right now. This is different. You know, this is a time when you really don't know who your enemy is. You don't know whether he's coming from behind this door or whether he's going to meet you face on or what. It's a different time. And we need to be aware of that. But you know what? And I just got to bring him in because he's the best friend I've ever had. The Holy Spirit knows where my enemy is. And He will help me and equip me that I'll be prepared to face that enemy wherever he shows up. Hallelujah. Oh, it's so good to have someone on your side that knows everything. Now, I've met a few people in my lifetime who thought they knew everything, but they were a real bore. You just don't like to be around them much. But I am acquainted with one. I have one. He lives inside of me that knows everything. All I have to do is make sure that I'm in tune with Him, listening to what He is saying unto me. Hallelujah. In the scripture, go with me to Matthew. The 9th chapter of Matthew. Verse number 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw, and I want you to mark that if you know your Bible, it don't hurt to mark in it. When he saw multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. When Jesus saw, he was moved. What we see, is it impacting us to be moved to action? See, you can't have compassion without it moving you to action. See, I can say to you, I love you, and go off feeling sorry for you and wishing that something would happen to benefit you. But if I have compassion on you, compassion moves me to action. I can't stay in the bleachers. I've got to come down into the playing field and get involved and expose myself to those that are hurting and those that need help and do what I can to alleviate the pain and the hurt that is there. Today, as never before, we need people who are moved with compassion. They need to be able to see the hopelessness that many people have, the despair that is in their life. We need to be able to see that. And we need to be able to be moved to do something about it. Amen? See, someone said to me recently, said, Brother Gorman, what are you doing since you retired? And when they got up, I said to them, who said anything about retiring? Amen? We have to be moved by what we see. See, as I watched some of my relatives as they were singing here, what they're going to face in their lifetime is much different than what I faced in my lifetime. Amen? If I needed the power of the Holy Spirit, and if I needed Him to help me in my situations, they must have Him. It's not a matter of just being good. They've got to have the power of the Holy Spirit, who is a teacher, who is a leader, who is one who guides, who is one who equips. See, the Holy Spirit not only is with us, but He equips us so that whatever battle that we're facing, we're more than adequate for the task. Amen? Hallelujah. It's not enough just to say, well, I can take care of the situation. You need to be able to not only take care of the situation, but blaze a path that it makes it easier for others. Hallelujah. We need to be strong in the power of His might. And today, He's praying and wants you to pray, not for the harvest, but for laborers. Did you know that you can't find a scripture in the Bible where Jesus prayed for the harvest? He was always equipping and preparing people to labor. See, you being prepared and equipped to labor means that you have on the whole armor of God. And not only that you have it on, but you know how to use it. And you're yielded to that which God has given to you, which are the gifts of the Spirit. It grieves my heart when I hear people today talking about that tongues are not needed anymore. That manifestations of the Holy Spirit are not needed anymore. They're needed more today than ever. Hallelujah. We're up against an enemy today that is doing everything that he can to throw us off course and to cause people to lose faith. He says, don't faint. You know what that means? Don't lose your grip. Amen? Don't let anything cause you to lose your grip. You know in whom you have believed. Stand up and speak it forth with authority that you can come against the enemy. With full authority to defeat him and to win over him. That's why we need the equipment. We need it. You know, you say, well, Brother Gorman, what gifts do I need? All of them. Amen? Amen? Some enemies you can win by just talking a certain way. Some of them don't understand until you flatten them. Amen? Isn't that right? They don't get the message. And you flatten them by the power of the Holy Ghost and the Word of God that is sharper than any two-edged sword. And God teaches you how to use it that you can effectively war against the enemy of your soul. The enemy is trying to undermine our faith. He's working at that. Trying to cause you to lose your grip. Amen? There's a story in the Old Testament where they were fighting. And one of the men that was fighting had his sword in his hand. And he had such a grip on it that after they had killed him, they still had to pry his hand loose to get the sword out. Amen. What kind of grip do you have on the weapons that you're warring with? What kind of grip? Are you saying, well, I hope so, or maybe so, or I think so? Listen to what I'm saying to you. You have a God who has made you more than adequate for the task. You have a God that's not interested in you just barely making it. Amen? He wants you to have abundant victory over every enemy that comes against you. We're fighting the fight of faith. We believe. Now we must prove that we believe. Hallelujah. It's one thing to say, I believe. It's another when all hell comes against you for you to stand there and continue believing until you see the glory of God manifest. Hallelujah. When you see the glory of God manifest, when you see Him show up, see, our children and our grandchildren, they've got to not just hear, they got to see. That's one of the things that I pray about a lot, is that now we have grandchildren that are preaching this gospel. But we have great-grandchildren that are coming on. And I want them not to hear about, but I want them to see and to witness that the God of their fathers is still the God of today. That He's a mighty God. That He has changed not. That what He did yesterday, He will do today. And every parent needs to feel that way. Hallelujah. You know, it's not enough for us just to talk about healing. We need to see it. It's not enough for us just to talk about that person has a demon. We need to be able to take authority over that demon. Hallelujah. Cast that demon out. I believe the last day church is going to be a church that has great power and is filled with manifestations. It's not going to be a church that is weak or cowardly or ashamed or embarrassed. Amen. We need to say, whosoever will. And there are some who will come. That it's going to take more than a little prayer to see them set free. It's going to take the gifts of the Spirit operating in you and through you to bring about the victory that needs to be in their life. But you know what that's going to do? It's going to open up a whole new avenue. Recently, I preached the funeral of a man that got saved in our church in New Orleans. He was a professional gambler. And he had a bookie that went everywhere with him. And this bookie's name was Dude. So, Peck was the man I preached his funeral, Dominic. They called him Peck. He earned his living by gambling. That's all he did. So his wife got saved in a Wednesday morning Bible study. Dude's girlfriend got saved. And so one night, Peck came in, and he had been gambling. And after his wife got saved and started praying for him, he started losing. So he came in, and she was just lying up in bed, didn't say a word to him. She was reading her Bible. Had her nightlight on, and she was reading the Bible, waiting for him to come in. And so he says to her, they told us about this, He said, lay up and read that book. While you're reading that book, we're going broke. He was losing. So there was such a change in his wife. And she came to Wednesday morning Bible study. She came to Sunday services. And she came Monday night and Wednesday. And he just knew she wasn't coming for church. Nobody loves church that much. So him and Dude came to see what was going on. So when I gave the altar call and started praying for people, people were slain in the spirit. Well, that just blew their minds. So they slipped down to front. Now, I could hear them behind me talking because they both learned how to whisper in a sawmill. You could hear them for a quarter of a block. And so they're coming along behind me, and I could hear Peck saying, dude, I believe the Joker's dead. And he says, I know this one's dead. What's he doing to him? And I just lay hands on him and they'd go out. And so here they are. They got a mirror. And they're holding it under their noses to see if they're still breathing. And he says, no, he's still breathing. And you may say, why didn't you make them quit? They're up there among the people, the slain in the spirit. Here's what came to my mind, and I remember it today as clearly as I remembered that night. The Lord said, leave them alone. If they have no better sense than to get up here where all this is happening, they will get caught. So Peck found out that I played goth. So he wanted me to go gothing with him. But he wanted me to meet him at the golf course at 5 a.m. in the morning in the summer. I later learned that he wanted me to meet him there at that time because he didn't want any of his buddies see him praying with a preacher. So that day we played and he asked me questions. He asked me about tongues, interpretation of tongues. He asked me about prophecy and all of this and everything. He is asking questions. So him and Dude came back to church on Sunday. And they're sitting there. And so he said, there was a message given in tongues. And Dominic said, Dude said, that's a message in tongues. Said, just be quiet. The Rev's going to tell you what it's saying. So I interpreted the message. And about that time, there was another message given in tongues. He said, dude, just hold steady. The Rev's going to tell us what they're saying. Then it was unusual, but there was a third message given in tongues. And like, this is Dom sitting here. The man right behind him gave a message in tongues, and it threw him off so. He said, uh-oh. He said, dude, they got me. And he came to the altar and surrendered his heart to God. Amen. Amen. Only eternity will reveal how many people Dominic brought to that church that got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. Not one or two, but numbers of them came and surrendered their hearts to God. You know what? People saw what God did for him. Amen? the Lord is mighty. And it don't matter what your loved one is involved in, God knows where they're at. And if God can reach in and get a Dominic, He can reach in and get your friend. Whoever your friend is, wherever your friend is, He knows how to bring them in. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You see, these are perilous times, but these are times for God to show Himself mighty. Wherever the enemy comes in mightily, the Spirit of the Lord raises a standard against that force of darkness. And God is warning His church to rise up and to let the Holy Spirit use them so that your relatives and your friends and those that are bound by sin and darkness and by habits and drugs and other things see them set free. This is an hour. This is one of the greatest hours that the church has ever seen for harvest. See, people are fearful. Did you hear me? People are fearful. And the answer for fearfulness is a relation with Jesus. One of the first things Jesus always did was, peace be still. He dealt with the fear. Wherever the fear was, He dealt with it. And people had peace. And today, the only peace we're going to have is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. 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 I want to read another verse of Scripture to you, if you will allow me here. The 10th chapter of Matthew, verse 1. And when He had called unto Him His 12 disciples, He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. You know, the verses I read to you in the 9th chapter there, it talks about the fear that came in and the need for workers. Now He's telling you, I'm going to give you power. I believe this is the hour for the church to receive power like she has never received before. To see the manifestations of the power of Almighty God. Yes, Satan's working and he's working hard. But God is mightier. And we must come against Him. We must come against Him. There are going to be sicknesses that's going to happen that you are going to have the opportunity to lay hands on them and see them set free. See, God is not looking today for one individual that He can raise up in this church who becomes the person with the healing ministry in this church. God is looking at the church as a whole. The Lord spoke to me a few years ago, and He says, my body is going to be known by the power I manifest through it. And He says, no longer will there be individuals. And He even spoke to me about names. He said, Benny Hinn is one of the last major healing ministries you're going to see. Because He says, too many eyes are upon the man. I want the eyes of the world upon my church. Amen. My church is to be known as where my power. The community must realize if they can get to the church, they can find help. Amen. If they can get to the church, they'll find deliverance. They'll find peace. They'll find joy. This is it. There are many complexing problems, but there are none that the church cannot find the answer for. Hallelujah. We're plugged in to the all-knowing Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. I've had people say to me, Brother Gorman, you put too much emphasis on the Holy Spirit. And you know what I tell them? Why shouldn't I? He's done more for me than anybody. They said, oh, no, Jesus. I said, but I couldn't have even known Jesus if the Holy Spirit hadn't shown me. Amen? Hallelujah. It's time you built a relationship with the Holy Spirit. That you learn His voice. That you know what He's saying. That you allow Him to lead you. That you allow Him to equip you. Amen. Those of you who have children, you need to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit that He can tell you when they're doing things they shouldn't be doing. That you can pinpoint it. Amen. My oldest son is such a blessing to Virginia and I. And God is using him. And one day he came in. He says, Daddy, I'd like to use a car tonight. And he seldom ever asks for it. And so I just run my hand in my pocket and got my keys. And I says, okay, son. Never did look up from the book I was reading. But I says, don't be speeding away from the stop signs. He said, how did you know? I said, the Holy Spirit told me. Amen. Did you know the Holy Spirit will tell on your kids? And it makes a profound impact on them when they know that there's somebody other than mama and daddy that's watching them. I mean, you can tell them, but whenever you remind them, God showed me this. Hallelujah. What is your relationship with the Holy Spirit? You're a good man. When I start my church, I'm going to get you to be in it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm not going to keep you any longer, but I want to ask you something. Are you equipped to deal with the devil? I'm talking about really deal with him. Are you ready to face him head on? And let him know that he's no match for the one in you. That whatever he dishes out, there's one in you that's greater than he. Hallelujah. I want my children, I want my grandchildren I want my great-grandchildren to be equipped. Hallelujah. I haven't been privileged to be around my cousins much and nephews over here. But you know what? I appreciate the talent they have. But what I would like for them to have more than anything along with that talent is the power of the Holy Spirit in them that leads them and guides them and directs them and equips them for every situation they'll face. And I don't get to be around them enough. They may have that already, but if they don't, I have prayed since I have been around them this week. God, equip them. Equip them. They're wonderful, wonderful young people. I've been tremendously impressed with them. And I thank God for Dwayne and Deanna, who have lived a life before them and has helped them. And so now it's time for them to brace up and face the enemy and face him head on. Hallelujah. When I saw Dawson up here singing today, I thought, when I was that age, God was already using me mightily in the gifts of the Spirit. Amen? Some of you have heard me tell the story, and I'll just mention it in passing here. Mrs. Avant, who is now in heaven, was dying, and I was a boy, 17 years of age, and he told me to go pray for her, and I did. The doctors had given her 6 months to live. I'm at 6 weeks to live. I laid hands on her, and God above honored my faith. And she lived to be, I think it was 89 years of age before she went on. This is what God can do. But you know what it did for me? It made me know there's no sickness, there's no devil that's bigger than the God that's in me. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All I've got to do is listen to Him, obey Him, and be willing to be used by Him. And today, I'm going to make this invitation a little different than what I usually do when I'm here. But I'm going to ask, how many of you in this building is 25 years of age or younger? Stand to your feet wherever you are. I want to ask you question number two. How many of you are willing to offer yourself and say, God, whatever you want me to do, I'm willing to do it, and I want to be used by the Holy Spirit. If that's your decision, and I'm not going to embarrass you and point you out and all that stuff, it's up to you. If that's what you want, step out and walk down here to the front. Brother, would you get this for me? Hallelujah. Amen. You know what? This army that's standing up here is enough to shake up this county. Amen. They're able to shake up this county. To cause it to turn. All they got to do is be willing to be used by God. Could I have adults that look at me? If you don't pray in tongues, don't come. But all of you who pray in tongues, move down here and get behind a young person. Son, I'm proud of you. I don't get to be around you much, but you have really inspired me this week. I love you. And I love you, honey. Love you. Keep up that music. Love you, son. Amen. Come in here, squeeze in, and get behind them. Young people, lift your hands toward heaven. And as you do, say this with me. Father, no one made me come down here. I came because I had an opportunity. I want to be used by you. And I don't want to fail you. Speak to my heart. And give me the power and the authority to come against the enemy and be effective for your name's sake and for your cause. Just lift your heads up now and begin to pray and just worship Him. Would you do that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Just lift your hands and begin to worship Him. Begin to worship Him. Hallelujah. God's turning some situations around for you. Some things that have happened that has caused you to go through some real battles, some real hurts, and you've had a lot of anger about certain situations. But God's touching you, and He wants to work mightily in you and through you. Am I speaking the truth or not? Amen. Lift your hands high. Jesus, touch her. Touch her now. Minister to her, I pray. Minister to her now, I pray. Bless them, O God. Bless them. Bless them for your glory. Help them, Lord, I ask. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Young people, just keep worshiping Him. Now then, the next thing I want to do, I want you young people to turn and face somebody that's not a member of your family. Put your hands on their shoulders and speak out loud to them and say, I don't ever want to fail you. I want to be an inspiration. And I want to be an example that you can follow. I pray for you, and I want you to pray for me. Grant it, Father. Let us be used to glorify your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God.